Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Roberta's Radio. Handling topics both hot and cold.
And that is the voice of Brandon Hoy. Welcome to Roberta's Radio, the inaugural episode. This is like the pilot episode of your favorite show that when you go back and listen to it, you're confused and you're like, wow, why did it suck so much in the beginning?
But, oh my God.
Yeah, totally. Episode one.
The funny thing was, is right when you played that, I'm standing in my backyard. And I was literally throwing an aqua sock up, trying to get it to land on my balcony. I'm just standing out of my backyard, just throwing this aqua sock up into the air, trying to get it to land. And then I heard that, and I was like, wow, I don't know what's more depressing, that intro or the fact that I'm standing here trying to throw an aqua sock up onto my balcony.
Why are you doing that?
I'm grilling in the backyard. I'm cooking food for my parents are here and for my girlfriend. And I was like, you know, just waiting for these carrots to get all nice and cooked. And I was like, what the hell is this aqua sock doing down here? And then I saw that the other one was up on the balcony. So I was trying to throw it. It must have slipped down. So I was trying to throw it up back onto the balcony.
These are the pressing issues we'll cover on Roberta's Radio.
Almost regularly.
So I'm going to try to explain this to new listeners, and it'll all make sense as we go on. I'm Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio. We live at Roberta's. I've been here about 5 years or so. And the idea behind this show is kind of to give a forum to the really awesome and interesting staff at Roberta's, which is now what, like over 130 people?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're talking...
In the hundreds.
You know? And these are people that are not just working at Roberta's, obviously, but heavily involved in the art scene in Bushwick, the music scene, all sorts of different scenes. So, you know, we have a lot of exciting shows lined up for the season, and Brandon, who is on the phone with us right now, is one of the co-owners and co-founders of Roberta's, and he'll be a regular host, co-host, phone guest, sock thrower, all of those things.
Aqua sock.
I'm sorry, it's an aqua sock.
It's like halfway between a shoe and a sock.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's for the river.
So,
or any water, for that matter.
Well, Brandon, I thought since it's episode one, maybe there are some people miraculously clicking on this and not knowing what Roberta's is and how it started. So you guys opened in 2008 or 2009?
Oh, man. One of those years.
One of those years. Somewhere around
that. I think it was eight. That sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Eight, nine. What is it? 2014? Is that about 7 years ago?
No.
Yeah. Oh. It's 2008. 6 years ago.
Something like that. And now, you were bartending before that.
Yeah.
Where were you bartending?
At the Royal Oak.
Okay, so you're bartending at Royal Oak about 6-7 years ago. And
right.
Suddenly you decide to open a
right.
restaurant.
I see what story you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
You've heard these stories so many times.
Yeah, I've heard it.
That you're like, your gut. So I was bartending. And Chris Perichini, another owner and co-founder, he came into the bar with a buddy of his that was from Italy, Mauro. And you know, they were really jazzed up, and they were I was like, you know, taking shots with them. They were trying to figure out what they were so excited about, and finally Chris revealed that he had this, you know, plan to open up this pizzeria in Bushwick. And at that time, Bushwick was still rarely unknown. There was Kings County and Brooklyn Natural and, you know, a handful of, like, artists that were living there at the time. And it was a very interesting neighborhood back then.
How did Bushwick get on your radar, though?
There was stuff happening. There was some action out there. There was like the Sugar Room. There was a few like underground music venues. Like Todd P was doing a lot of stuff out there. There was a lot of action in the music scene that were happening there. And there was like a lot of house parties because there was a lot of artists living in the, you know, pretty nice sized loft. So there was stuff going on. You know, movers and shakers.
Okay.
Of the scene. So, you know, Chris was living out there. He was living on Ingram. And, you know, there was a lot going on. A lot of people were, like, hanging out in that neighborhood. And it was very different than it is now. And probably, you know, that neighborhood has gone through a tremendous amount of change.
Let me stop for a second, though. So there's you, there's Chris, and there's Carlo. What's Chris doing at this point for a living?
Oh, I don't know.
This and that.
Are you asking the tough questions now?
Yeah, this is hardball.
is Carlo
cooking?
Carlo is currently cooking. I mean, we're all more in the office than we are like on the floor of the restaurant doing that kind of stuff. At this point, you know, it's a fairly big company, and we're now like kind of focusing on growth, you know.
No, but I mean at the time when you guys, you know, when they're at the bar and you're taking shots.
Oh, at that time. So Chris was also bartending at the Royal Oak at this time. And Carlo and I were buddies just from back when I had worked at Odessa, which is another bar in the East Village. So we were all just like bros, you know. Chris and Carlo actually didn't even know each other. We started off as there were three of us. It was Chris, Mauro, and I that all kind of started the business together. And then kind of part of the way through building out Roberta's, Carlo came in.
But, I mean, it's just like out of nowhere. I mean, what's his culinary background, Carlo?
He had none.
That's
he was
incredible.
Working at Good World, which was a Swedish restaurant. He had none, really. He came out of nowhere. You know, him and I had like those few, like, you know, just like 4:30 in the morning, like cab rides, where you're just like, man, I can't wait. One day I'm gonna, you know, and we had a few of those conversations about opening restaurants and that it was something that we wanted to do. And I remembered that, and we needed some money, and you know, at that point we were ready to take on another partner and to try to get this job finished. And Carlo was there, and we really didn't even know what his skill set was. We needed the money, and we needed a partner, and we liked Carlo, and that was how it started. His like culinary expertise. Like both came on the job and were kind of unknown to us. You know, we got lucky on a lot of things. You know, sometimes you got to put the quarter in to hit the jackpot. So, you know, we took a gamble on a lot of things and both of those things paid off for us.
I mean, it's incredible when you think about those beginnings and where the brand and the restaurants come now. I mean, just today, I think in Vogue magazine, Bushwick was named the number 7 hottest neighborhood in the world.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're name dropping Roberta's as like a large reason for that. What does that make you feel like reading something like that now?
It's both conflicting and like enjoyable to think that you can develop something that changes the face of a whole community. It's great, you know, but there's also negative aspects that come to it as well that you have to deal with. I mean, ultimately you want to open something that you enjoy and that you think is positive and a positive influence on its community, and that's what we did, and that's what we've always strived to do. Give people, mostly we were thinking about the people of that neighborhood, give them a value a value option in the neighborhood that wasn't crap, that wasn't like a greasy spoon. That was really our motivation in the early days. And as it got more and more popular, you have more and more responsibility to your customers. And you have to like kind of outperform your last year or your last meal or your last everything. And you just start doing that and you start improving upon all of the things. You try to build a base of what you think is the starting ground for everything you do. And then you build off that and you try to make everything better and better. And as you do that, you grow. And fortunately for us, the neighborhood grew with us. There was nothing there, and now there's a lot of things there, and you know,
for better or worse. No, absolutely. But I want to
for good or for worse. Yeah. And what are the bad parts? You know, people like there's a lot of haters out there that want to hate on you. The more right, more money, more problems, yeah. More customers, more haters. Like you inevitably have more people kind of like shit talking and all that stuff. The more popular you become.
No, absolutely. I do want to rewind for a second though, because you kind of left us at, all right, you three dudes, like you come together, you have just enough money to start, you have the idea and you go. But like, what did that go move look like? How does the drunken idea and the funds turn into this ramshackle restaurant?
We had very little, very, very, very little funds. In the beginning, we literally had enough money to like secure the deposit and the pretty much get the lease. That was the amount of money that we had. But we got the lease and that was that. I got a fire going out here. My man on the grill. Because of that style and because of the position that we were in, we had very little funds to like build the place. So function came first. And every penny we had was to kind of build the best place we possibly could. And we did a lot of stuff to get there. We scavengered around for the bricks that built the wall for the pizza counter. All of the wood was like reclaimed. A lot of it we got in Albany, that was like stripped out of a barn. And we bought all this stuff for nickels. We literally just went around just trying to find the best deal we could on these kind of things and kind of piecemealed the place together with all of these things.
Right. I mean, I remember at the time when I came in, there were space heaters. It was BYOB. And there were old car parts in the backyard. And, like, you know,
there was actually a whole car
There was like a
67 Mercedes-Benz that had been like transformed into some sort of limousine that was like actually sitting in the backyard, which was a funny story because our neighbor at the time was like, I'll give you more backyard. I'll give you some of my backyard, but you got to leave this. You can't like make me move this car. So we just kept it in the backyard.
So did you just slowly keep getting more of the land from the landlord?
Yeah. Originally we started getting more and more of the space from our next door neighbor, Asha, who ran an auto body business. And he was just kind of like, I don't need this space. He was downsizing. So we were really literally just subleasing from him until he finally just moved out. And then luckily it's the same landlord that has both spaces. So we kind of just grew into that. And now, I mean, as you see, we kind of have the whole block.
Basically, you basically have the entire neighborhood. I mean, there's plenty of story from where you just left off to where we are now that we could never, ever, ever get to in 5 minutes.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man, it'd take weeks.
I mean, we'll just slowly have to trickle this story out over the course of the season. But I do want to kind of fast forward because I think what I'm hearing you say is, like, you know, you guys come together and you want to give this blossoming community a place to eat. And
yeah.
As I understand, that's kind of the inspiration behind the new takeout space. So you guys just last week, I think, you know, started slowly rolling out this delivery takeout space. Tell me about the inspiration to open that.
Yeah, you got it. You know, it became a place where, you know, we were having very long wait times and it was difficult to get in. And that's like a little disheartening to us. You know, when your friends start telling you, oh, man, I haven't gone for a few years because it's so hard to get in, it's like, man, that sucks. Like, that's not why we made the place. You know, we didn't make the place so people from Pennsylvania and Australia and wherever they're coming from. We made the place for these people in the neighborhood. And so pizza takeout and delivery was an attempt to, like, one, kind of free up some of the wait time inside by getting rid of the takeout and delivery aspect out of Roberta's. So in hopes that we would, you know, speed up some of the wait times. And two, to just give people that just want pizza and beer the opportunity to come get pizza and beer.
You can't deny people that.
And you don't, what's that?
You can't deny people that.
Yeah, just like, you know, cut through the bullshit and just, if you want pizza and beer, here's a place for you to just come get pizza and beer.
So,
and I think that was ultimately that was the, like, driving force behind opening that. And like, we also wanted to have like a place where we could, like, sell retail with a bakery, which our bakery is awesome. And, you know, we just never really had a place to kind of, like, show it off. We always have used the baked goods in Roberta's as a piece of what we do, but we never just had a place where we could just show off the baked goods. And we tried in the front of Roberta's, but it gets so crammed up there, it's really hard to, like, see the display case. So that and all of our merchandise, like all of our shirts, and then we do fresh juices and things like that. So we just wanted to get that stuff to put at home, you know?
The space is banging, man. It's, like, really clean and fresh. I mean, again, like, just to kind of recap, we're talking about three dudes at a bar taking shots with minimal cash, getting a basically junkyard space.
Pretty much.
To now, you know, not only has Roberta's expanded its own space with a bar in the back and additional seating in the back and a little extension kitchen out there, there's Blanca, the tasting restaurant, there's the commissary kitchen, you guys do events. There's the takeout delivery space. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, not to mention the level of customer coming in here. I mean, you know, I used to brag to radio guests like, yeah, you know, Alice Waters was once here. But now I'm like, yeah, Jay-Z and Beyonce sat right there. It's crazy. So I'm wondering, like,
pretty amazing.
Of all the people that have rolled through here, all the kind of VIP celebrities, what really stands out for you? Like, wow, I can't believe that person ate at my restaurant.
I mean, Tony Bennett was probably one of the biggest ones. I mean, Tony Bennett was definitely the biggest one because we actually got to sit at the bar with him and, like, hang out. And it was actually really early on. He was an early adapter. You know, Jay-Z, that was recent, and it's like, it took him long enough to finally get here, you know? It's like, well, how many times does Madonna have to come before Jay-Z comes?
Well, the fact
Tony,
that Madonna
Tony Bennett,
came
Tony
all.
Bennett was, like, early on. Tony Bennett was, like, in our, like, second or third year, and it was pretty impressive, you know, that he's a dude that kind of, you know, is on top of things like that. His wife was amazing, and they're, like, you know, they're like in the art scene and they know all, they knew the people in the neighborhood. They were very hip people.
Yeah, it's surprising.
That was number one. Also, I mean, Fab Five Freddy used to come all the time back in the day. He was always awesome, man. Remember him coming in the radio station and hanging out?
We keep in touch now. We keep in touch now. Like, for me, that's insane. I mean, I grew up watching Yo MTV Raps, and now, like,
yeah,
the guy, you know, one of the pioneers of hip hop, emailing me. I'm like, it's crazy.
Yeah, he was also big. Like, I just, like, I like the fact that he was like a regular dude at Roberta's. Like, he would just come and kind of, you would just see him, like, regularly around. That was always very cool.
Yeah,
and he was one of my favorites.
It seems like that original energy is coming back a little bit in the restaurant from the takeout spot and a lot of the other shit that you're starting to do. You're feeling like kind of returning to the roots a little bit?
I am. There is a little bit of returning to the roots. We made our bones not only like making great food and having great value, but we had fun. And we used to have a phrase around Roberta's, which was, we make party. And I think, like, you know, that was one of the, like, great things that we always did. We were really good. We were really good at having fun. We were really good at making parties. And I think, like, you know, we one time had a miniature motorcycle track in the backyard for Halloween. You know, we've had many beer drinking events.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting
awesome.
It.
Yeah, nice. Some awesome Super Bowl parties, you know, some great Halloween parties. Like we just like partying was part of the like storyline, you know, and it had been a little while. We had kind of taken some time off just to kind of get our feet underneath us, and now I feel like we're making a comeback into the party scene. I mean, you know what? Like the last big one was our last block party, which was, I don't know how many, 18,000 people, 20,000 people. I mean, it was crazy. So it was kind of like, whoa, we need to slow down, man. These parties are getting like out of control.
Yeah,
had to kind of take a look at it from a different perspective.
And it may not seem like it because of how serious this interview has been, but that's exactly what Roberta's Radio is going to be, is like an extension of that party.
This is just a prelude to wildness to come.
Yeah, this is like this is the prerequisite reading before the course starts. I mean, like I said, man, I could interview you for 2 hours on the history of Roberta's. We could go on and on and on, but hopefully if you didn't know anything about Roberta's, you know a little bit more now after talking with Brandon Hoy on the phone here, tossing
awesome.
Aqua shoes in the backyard at the house with the parents. Thanks for taking a little chunk of the leisure time out to talk with us, man.
No worries, man. No worries.
So what we're going to cut to next is actually a little mini playlist DJ set from Kristen, who we're going to call. I think the DJ name we're going with right now is DJ Pretty Prozac, and she's a back waiter at Roberta's. And yeah, here's a bunch of tunes that she chose for the show, which is going to take us out. We will be back next week, every single Tuesday at 7 p.m. That's right. It's going to happen every week. Roberta's Radio, heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Jack Inslee. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah.
Peace.
Later.
We'll be right back. What am I not supposed to have an opinion? Should I keep quiet just because I'm a woman? Call me a bitch, cause I speak what's on my mind. Guess it's easier for you to swallow if I sack.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.